You joined a barnstorming Negro League, didn't you, out of the Army? A summer-long league started in Houston, in on to Chicago, and to New York.
And what we call it, round the clock.
Round the clock. Tell us about that.
Well, see, we leave Houston, go to Beaumont, Port Arthur, Corpus Christi, come on up to Dallas, leave Dallas and come to Oklahoma City, leave Oklahoma City and go to Wichita, an hour away, and gone on into Chicago, and leave Chicago, go to Terre Haute, Indiana, and gone on to Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh, and New York, come on down to Washington, D.C., on down till we get to Atlanta, and come on to Atlanta, come on across back to Birmingham, on back to Houston. It take 30 days to do that, and we call it round the clock. And they made that round the clock.
Did you play many games in one day?
Oh, we played as much as 3 games in one day. That's how Reuben Jones, my manager, got fired. That was what we do. Start at 12 o'clock and play a doubleheader. Then we play a twilight game at night, not that same town, about 30 or 40 miles away. Wouldn't be tired or nothing like that. You're in condition, it's a lot of fun, if you wanted to play baseball.
Did you get paid?
Oh, yeah. The Negro League paid pretty good. The Negro League did.
Tell him about how Reuben got fired, though, because of this triple header.
And tell us who Reuben was.
Reuben Jones was a manager.
Of Newark Eagles. He was a manager at famous Texas Black Spiders.
Out of Mineola, baseball. Texas.
Yeah, and he played baseball, and then he went to Newark Eagles. We played a doubleheader in New York and come on down to somewhere in Delaware and play it at night. Well, they didn't turn the taxes in for a night game. They've been keeping that money, and they put that big bill on Miss Ethel Manley, that big bill on her, you know, when she showed back taxes and talking about doing something to the club, and she found out they was keeping that money.
Ethel Manley, the wife of Abe Manley, who owned the club.
Yeah, and he found out he was keeping that money. There's a lot of crooked stuff going on because I got a crooked deal in.
So Reuben essentially just took all the money from the third game.
The third game was never played in Newark, as far as they're concerned. They took it all. Him and Mitchell, the secretary, took it all.
On this round the clock, you probably slept on the bus.
You slept in the bus. Wasn't a round the clock league. You had to ride. You had to ride a pretty good way. You slept on it. They gave you $7 a day money.
But you slept on the bus. Hardly ever stayed in a hotel.
Hardly ever. See, you got $7 a day. $2 for sleeping money, and then rest $5 to eat money. They gave you that.
Speaking of eating, weren't you refused service in many restaurants?
A whole lot of them. A lot of people just didn't want to fool with you.
Where did you buy your food if they didn't want to fool?
You got bought at a grocery store, and you go to the back door and sit and eat in the kitchen. They let you eat in the kitchen, stuff like that. And sell you sandwiches, they'd sell it to you, but they didn't want you eating in the front. They didn't want that.
Didn't you guys have a network where you knew someone else in another city that could help you get through to the next city?
Clingham, that booking agent, down in McKinney, Texas, he had it down pat. Clingham.
Manziel Russell, he was a booking agent for the Muskogee Cardinals?
Yeah, but it all had to come through Clingham. Okay. He booked it all for the Kansas City Monarchs and everybody. He had it sold up. And see, a lot of guys didn't get them, and booking agents had money. Mm-hmm. You know, he got part of it, but he didn't get it all. Then he'd catch up with you and get his back money. It's really tough back then. That money, it changes a whole lot of things.
One time the team called ahead to pick up food from a diner.
We called ahead in Iowa somewhere. I think it's Des Moines. We played a game about 30 miles away, and we called and ordered dinner for 15 or 20. The guy had the table set in the front of the cafe, this long table for the ball players. When we got there, he found out we were black. Ain't no nigga coming in my joints, and got his shotgun. And he took that same food that he had up there and threw it out in the front and turned about 3 dogs loose on it.
Oh, my.
And so another man across the street had a grocery store. He showed me, well, ain't nothing we can do about it. And we bought all this bologna and crackers and things.
How'd that make you feel?
It didn't bother me.
You were used to that kind of treatment.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. See, I got it when I was in the Army and got it here.
But you were heroes to your race. You were treated as celebrities among blacks.
Yeah, you know, if you like football and baseball and things, they treat you real nice right now.
Well, and you ran with other celebrities, too, like jazz musicians, Jay McShann.
Yeah, Jay McShann, he's right here. He's born out there on 19th Street. Jay McShann, all them guys knew me because mostly here after the game, they had a dance. The game was over by 10 o'clock, and they have a dance 10 to 2, and we knew each other, and sometimes we travel on the bus together. You know, rent a bus, like you go to Fort Smith. We wouldn't go in our baseball team bus. We'd rent a bus, and the band and the baseball team go together. We'd rent a 40-passenger bus and go down there together.
Did you know Marcus Haynes?
Did I know? I got a picture of Marcus. He drove at Sand Springs, and his brother-in-law was my school teacher. He could dribble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew Marcus Haynes real well. I think he died down in Ardmore somewhere down in there.
Yep.
He's from Ardmore, but the old Sand Springs.
He grew up there, yeah. Right. We have interviewed him elsewhere on this website, so you can listen to Marcus Haynes. Did you ever come across Jesse Owens?
Yes, I come across Jesse Owens once or twice. I tell you why, they putting on them shows, and for the game, they have a little track meet and everything. I used to try to get in those track meets, but they're too swift for me. I slowly walked away.
How about Joe Lewis? Did you ever meet him?
Yeah, I was in the Army with Joe Lewis.
In the Army with Joe Lewis?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, Joe Lewis wasn't an educated man. It was pitiful the way he come up. Well, he was a robot. Tell him everything. He knew how to follow instructions, but he's one of them natural.
Did you meet him in the military?
Yeah. See, he married a girl from Boley, Oklahoma, over here. One of them trolley girls in Chicago. That's who he was married to, a woman from Boley. And I knew Joe Lewis. I used to write his letters for him, you know, when he's in the service.
Did you like him? Was he a nice guy?
Yeah, he was a nice guy. He didn't bother nobody. He shouldn't have sent him to the Army. I mean, it's pitiful the way Joe Lewis got treated. It's pitiful. They hollering about Muhammad Ali and everything, but to my idea, he couldn't touch Joe Lewis. Couldn't touch him. I got a chance to see him fight one time. The guy was named Tamil Morelli. I think that's what his name was. This guy hit Joe Lewis, knocked him clean across the ring. I mean, hit him and went over there to finish him up. But Joe Lewis had a guy, Blackburn, his manager. He told Joe Lewis to knock him out. He told Joe Lewis this, Joe Lewis could do it. And this guy run over and Joe Lewis just went and he's out. I mean, he could do things like that, but he's really good. Joe Lewis is real good. Just like I'm telling you about sports, man, what I'm telling you, something you write and scratch out, but you got to know sports. Any sports writer should know what a person talking about it and being able to write. I shouldn't be able to surprise you nothing in sports. You just want to know the facts, and that's all. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Muskogee had a real good sports guy here, could really write it, but he died. But he was a good guy. He'd follow you around and bring the facts to you.